Hello. Thank you so much for taking the time to write, requesting our tape of the month. This is Frank Webb speaking on behalf of the Family Bible Hour. The speaker today is Mr. Arnett McIndy. Arnett will be speaking on the subject, The Greatest Man in the World. We pray the message will be a blessing to yourself and friends who may be listening. If as yet you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior, perhaps you may do it today. Please continue to pray for the needs of the Family Bible Hour and the gospel message as it goes forth worldwide in many languages. Now here's Arnett with the message, The Greatest Man in the World.
It was the great Socrates who said, "Oh, that someone would arise, be he man or God, to show us God." Another philosopher stated, "God will never be known unless he reveals himself in human form." Philosophers of the past and present have debated the possibility of God becoming man. When all their books have been written and their lectures delivered, there is only one ultimate authority on God and man. That is the Bible. It not only tells of God and man, it also tells of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the thrilling subject of our meditation on all programs of the Family Bible Hour this month. Consider with me today the comforting subject of the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ and other precious truths as found in the second verse of Isaiah 32. Let me share that wonderful text with you. As I do, may the Spirit of God impress it upon your mind and heart. It reads, "A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Although this verse and chapter deals with the Messiah in his kingdom rule, it seems to me its truths are so applicable in our day. The wind, the tempest, a dry place, and a weary land all describe in fitting fashion the day in which we live. I am, however, not too concerned with these. It is rather the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be the hiding place, the covering, the rivers of waters, and the great rock to whom I would like to direct your attention. With its opening words, this text brings to our attention the great doctrine of the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. We lovingly declare his humanity and firmly stand for his deity. We believe he was uniquely God and man. In its usual sublime manner, the written word, the Bible, speaks of the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 1 and verse 14 we read, "The Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. The one who was born at Bethlehem performed miracles for the blessing of mankind, and died at Calvary. He was God the Son in human form." The divinely inspired Word of God presents many instances wherein his deity and his humanity are so obvious. The morning sun was just warming the temple courtyard when he held dialogue with the religious leaders known as scribes and Pharisees. They were justifiably proud of their forefather Abraham. "With all the authority of the Godhead, Jesus said, 'Before Abraham was, I am.'" It was also in the temple he displayed his humanity when, angered at the way in which his father's house had been degraded to one of merchandise. Yes, he was truly God and truly man. In John chapter 17, he spoke of the glory he had with the Father in eternity past, while in John 4, he sat as a weary man at the well of Sychar. The eternal Son rested as a weary man. Deity and humanity were beautifully blended in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. 38 years, and a man had lain hoping to be healed at the pool of Bethesda. However, it wasn't until God, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, ordered him to take up his bed and walk he was able to do so. God in human form had visited Bethesda's pool. The healing man of God knew what it was to be the hungry Son of God. John 4, his disciples urged him to eat. Finally, recall the occasion on which he, as the God of the elements, rebuked the wind and the waves. When a great calm settled on the once turbulent waters, those present said, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey?" The answer, of course, is he was the Creator God, living as a man with men. As God, the seas obeyed. He knew what it was to be subject to the weariness of the flesh. On the occasion I have just mentioned, he had fallen asleep in that little storm-tossed boat. Frightened disciples had wakened him with their cry of concern, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" How could that little boat sink with a co-equal, co-eternal Son of God as one of its passengers? The Lord Jesus Christ was undeniable deity and at the same time undeniable humanity. Let me again quote our text for today from Isaiah 32 and verse 2. "A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind." Friend, let me introduce you to the man. He is the one of whom I've been speaking. He is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to be the hiding place for you prior to the windstorm of God's holy wrath. A hiding place is so necessary when the wind and the storm approach. In our verse, it is not a vast, rugged mountain or a sheltering rock which provides protection from the overpowering wind. It is a man. This man, the man Christ Jesus, provides security needed by every man, woman, boy, and girl. There is a day coming when God's wrath will break in all its fury on the Christ rejecter. The men who are outside the safety of the hiding place will in that awful day suffer so very much. The force of the wind can only be appreciated when viewing the devastating results of its fury. Buildings of steel and concrete are made mountains of twisted ruins. The wind is felt, but unseen. Man can measure the speed and the force of the wind. However, man can never measure the fury of Jehovah's awful wrath against sin. David the psalmist appreciated the force of God's tempest-like wrath when he wrote in Psalm 11, verse 6, "Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup." Did you get those words? An horrible tempest. It seems to me words fail when it comes to adequately describing the furious wrath of our Almighty God. Those winds which blasted the Lord Jesus Christ during his terrifying experience at Calvary were described by the poet who wrote, "On him eternal vengeance fell, which must have sunk a world to hell. He bore it for a sinful race, and thus became their hiding place." Friend, let me remind you, the furious, overpowering wrath of God against your sin was borne by the Lord Jesus, the God-appointed hiding place. He bore it for you. As he has borne the fury of the storm, it means there is none for you and me. God's wrath exhausted itself on our hiding place. Now, it will never be experienced by those who are safe within it. During World War II, the people of Europe appreciated the value of public and private bomb shelters. When aircraft high overhead rained death, the unprotected on earth ran to the safety of the bomb shelter for a hiding place. They took advantage of that, provided for their safety. It is the same spiritually speaking. Judgment for sin, your sin, must fall. The only hiding place is the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to his words of John 6:37. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Surely, you don't need another invitation. You must realize you are a sinner. Your conscience and the Word of God make it so clear. In yourself, you cannot stand the fury of the windstorm of his wrath. Come then, oh please come to the hiding place, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell him what he knows you are, a sinner. Tell him too, you are repenting and turning from all your sin for his protection, safety, and eternal security. It will give you what the Bible calls everlasting life. Friend, he died to make it possible for you. He bore the wrath and the fury of God's tempest that you might never experience it. Please come by faith, will you? Radio and television carried frequent news bulletins. A tornado was possibly bringing death and destruction. It was now on its way. Fire trucks with sirens blaring slowly drove through the neighborhood, making frequent announcements about the coming possible danger. That late Saturday afternoon, we as visitors shared the concern for safety with the residents of Kansas City. What a relief it was when the all clear was sounded. The storm had changed course. We had been spared. There's a very interesting verse in Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 2. It speaks of a storm. In fact, it calls it a tempest. It is a tempest of immense magnitude. Fortunately, however, it speaks of protection and safety from its terrifying destruction. Listen carefully as I read it. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covering from the tempest, as rivers of waters in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. If you were with us last week, you will recall we introduced a study of this precious verse. We considered the man. He is the God-man, the man for all seasons, the man of time and eternity. He is unique deity, at the same time, unique humanity. John, the beloved colleague of Christ, put it this way in his first chapter and 14th verse. The Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, became flesh, and he dwelt among us. As we noted last week, God became a man to become a hiding place for man. Today, we'll see him as a covering from the coming tempest. There are two elements in the portion of the verse we consider today. There is the covering and the storm. For a few minutes, let's think of the storm. Its intensity and certainty demand our attention. Its severity is far greater than the tornado speeding across the plains of Kansas and Missouri. In the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, we learn of the flood. It was the greatest, most devastating storm ever to break in its fury upon this old globe. For 40 days and nights, the rain fell and the fountains of the deep were opened. For 53 weeks, Noah and his family were within the safety of the ark. I'm confident there were many occasions during that experience in which Noah expressed thanks to God for a covering from the storm. He and his family were safe in the ark. All outside, possibly many who had ridiculed its construction, died in the rising waters. The ark bore the fury of the storm on behalf of Noah and his loved ones. They were safe in the God-designed ark which had been provided for them. Friend, there is a day of storm that is coming. It will not be in the form of a flood or its waters, but of God's awful wrath. Not too far down the road, God will cause the inhabitants of this world to go through the great tribulation. It will be approximately a 7-year period during which his judging wrath will be poured out upon the nations of the world. The only ones to escape it will be the believers who will have been called into the presence of the Lord at the rapture. I believe the rapture of believers is imminent and will be followed by that period of unparalleled suffering on this earth. The only ones to escape that judgment, again, they will be those who in life place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When the terrifying tempest of his awful wrath breaks, the only ones to escape will be those who have fled to the man Christ Jesus. He will be their covering from the tempest. Today, he readily receives whosoever will come to him. All you need do is acknowledge you are a sinner, repent of those sins, and believe when the Lord Jesus died at Calvary, he died for you. Paul and his companion Silas put it so simply when they joined voices to say in Acts 16:31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." If you will do that, my friend, you will escape the coming judgment and tempest. Speaking of the soon-to-arrive tribulation period, we read the reaction of earth's great men in that horrifying hour. We do so in Revelation 6 and verse 15. Listen, as in graphic detail we learn of the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said, "Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" The bravado, the prestige of high office will then be meaningless. Men of political, economic, academic, and military expertise will realize Almighty God is now judging all the residents of the planet. Tragically enough, the unsaved of this age will experience an even worse judgment. It will follow the rapture, the tribulation, the Lord's coming in glory, his millennial reign, the final rebellion, the great white throne. All who stand in the august presence of the one who occupies the great white throne will be sentenced to the eternal lake of fire. Oh, I hope you will not be one. I realize I've been discussing some very solemn and unpleasant truths with you in this portion of the program, but I have no choice. If I'm going to be true to my beloved Lord and to you, I must, in the light of eternity, sound the warning note. Oh, my friend, please be wise. Heed this loving warning of coming judgment and come to the Savior, the covering from the storm. Let me introduce you to the covering from that storm. His name is Jesus, the Savior. His full title is the Lord Jesus Christ. In meeting him, you will notice the wound marks in his hands, brow and side. Calvary's thorns, nails and spear, have all left their indelible mark. He received them when he, as the man of sorrows, became the covering from the storm and the tempest which should have fallen upon you and me. Let's go back for just a moment to our text of today. A man shall be as a covering from the tempest. Moment ago, I referred to him as the man of sorrows. One secular historian said of him, many have seen him weep, but few have seen him laugh. Hear him, as with the heart of passion, he said of his beloved Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. He could see the travail Jerusalem would suffer, and like the deeply concerned hen, he had sounded a warning and hoped the city would flee for safety under his wings. Those covering wings would protect them eternally, but Jerusalem would not accept his tearful and touching invitation. Oh, my friend, don't put yourself in that position. But while yet there is time, while yet the warning note is lovingly sounded, flee to Christ. Realize the urgency of the hour. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Let me invite you, just before I pray, to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Believe when he died for sinners, he died for you. Oh, do it this moment and be saved and safe for eternity.